Welcome to the Coach Michael Burt Show. 1 hour transformational radio. I'm your host, Coach Michael Burt. You know, good coaches do that for us, don't they? They make us have conversations we don't want to have. Make us do some things we may not want to do. But boy, they help us become something we didn't even think we could become. So straight out of the locker room, right into your life. I'm leadership expert, former championship coach, and author of the best-selling book, This Ain't No Practice Life. And welcome to episode number 109, where risky is the new safe. Prosperity guru, Mr. Randy Gage. And we'll have Randy on the show here in just a few minutes to walk us through some of his mind-blowing concepts, predictions, and everything that he has in his new book, Risky is the New Safe, because the rules sure have changed. You know, when we were little, our parents told us to go to school, get a degree, and everything would turn out just fine. What a big lie the whole world has bought into. You see, the game is changing, and those who have niche skill sets will dominate. I see the day that parents will pay the same amount of money they would shell out to a public university for their kids to study under a guru like Randy Gage for 4 years. What used to be safe is now risky, and risky is the new safe. So what can we do to be on the front end of a revolution where people are training monkeys to take over human jobs, cloning the puppy they love? How will vacation trips to the moon and ocean floor condos affect going to Disneyland or the oceanfront property that you have? How will virtual sex replace gambling habits and destroy millions of families? And how will we build serious wealth in the future by buying gold and diversifying our investments? How will there be 7 billion TV stations, one for every person's interest? Why should we move fast and break things? And why should we harness the ego for success, which is the opposite of what so many have learned in their traditional families? How do we learn that brand and building a brand is about making people feel a certain way so that you build these followers? You see, new results requires new behavior. Every significant breakthrough in our society was first to break with an old way of doing business into a new way of doing business. So how do we stay relevant with such strong changes? How do we accelerate our business through technology? All of this will have your mind spinning with wildly new and radical ideas. And I would expect nothing less from the Jedi Knight who sets out to crush limiting beliefs, and our special guest on Change Your Life Radio, Mr. Randy Gage, international best-selling author of 8 books, who also has a new book out, or coming out here pretty soon in October, called Risky is the New Safe. The game has changed. Randy Gage, welcome to Change Your Life Radio.
Hey, Coach. Great to be back on with you again.
Actually, welcome back. Man, you were so popular last time, and if it were up to me, you'd probably come back every week. So thank you. I got an advanced copy of your book, and let me first say wow. Just wow. I have read some pretty mind-blowing stuff, but some of the stuff made me take a double take. And I know you're known for kind of being bold, but start out with the listener with the genesis of this book and the central theme of it. I mean, what really pulled you to write this book, Risky is the New Safe, The Rules Have Changed?
Yeah, it was that trip I took to Thailand, which is right at the front of the book. Mm-hmm. I go there, I witness where they're training monkeys to replace human laborers. Now, we've been using animals for beasts of burden for centuries, right? Cows and camels and horses and... For manual labor, that was pretty thought-provoking. And then it was the same trip back home from Thailand. I land in, I switch planes in San Fran. I'm in the lounge, and there's a couple with this adorable puppy in a little carrier. So, I love animals, so I'm like, hey, can I play with the puppy? And the lady tells me, he's a clone. Well, I laugh. I think she's joking. She's not joking. That puppy was actually on my flight. They were coming back to Miami. They live here. And it was not even the first puppy that had been cloned. It was the first one that came to the U.S. And there was a whole the camera crews waiting. The puppy's on the front page of the Miami Herald the next day. And I'm realizing, so this gets me thinking about, what happens when cloning is a reality? When Jones and Son Hardware can just clone more sons instead of hiring employees. Mm. What's going to happen with relationships and family? And you've got 4, 6, 8, 10 brothers and they're cloned. How long will it take before a third world country really says we're going to create a clone army? And this isn't decades away. You know, this is moving fast. And matter of fact, I actually had to add a late entry to the book. There's a company from the UK that wanted to introduce a biogenetically engineered mosquito down in the Florida Keys to control some population overgrowth of some insect or some plant or some something. And, of course, there was a big outcry from the people. We don't want the Frankenstein mosquito. We don't want genetic modified animals, you know, whatever, moral, ethical. Lots of, you know, we may be, debating the moral and ethical implications of cloning and biogenetic engineering for decades, and we probably will. But that doesn't change the fact they're coming. They're coming really fast. And then you say, well, what would a new parent pay? What would a father pay if he could get the Peyton Manning quarterback gene in his son? What would a mother pay for if she could get the Maya Angelou poetry gene in her daughter? What, you know, if you could guarantee as a parent your child would have no genetic defects, no genetic diseases, you know what I mean? What, think of, and that says, you know, now that the whole premise of the book is about these, you know, really threatening, cataclysmic changes that we're going to be facing. And then the opportunities that each of these provide.
Yeah, I really like how you paint a picture of you know, you make some predictions and then you offer it. And you know, just to be honest with you, as I was reading the book, it really, when you tackle education and the old motto of go to school, get a degree, it'll all work out, get a good corporate job. Just a few weeks ago in a mastermind group I was in, one of the fathers said, he said, you know, when my children get old enough, what I would just like to do is pay the same amount of money I would pay to a public university, whether it be $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, and I would like to pay for my children to go study under a guru for 4 years and advance them that way. And when I was reading your book, I kept thinking about the future of education. Going to that specialized is, what if a parent paid for their child to go learn prosperity under Randy Gage for 4 years? Under a, you know, do you see things like that happening with the education system?
Yeah, because as you know in the book, I'm talking about how the whole education model in America and the West has kind of devolved. Teaching to the test, teaching people to memorize facts. They no longer teach kids how to think. And that really is a skill set that has to be taught, how to think. And we need to develop kids to be critical thinkers, and that's not happening. And in the future, that's going to have to happen. Parents are going to have to be more active. Kids are going to have to be more active. As I said in the Risky in the New States, there's a point where really soon from now, where a 6-month online certification is going to be much more lucrative, much more valuable, produce a lot more income for you than an MBA degree and even a PhD degree. Because if that 6-month online training is in spaceship piloting, video game programming, or some of those kind of things, it'll be worth a lot more because it's much more relevant. And the whole, like the college model is built on exploiting athletes, building more big buildings, brick and mortar everywhere, chasing after endowments. It's like the internet and e-learning and technology doesn't even exist at a lot of these colleges. They're like 25 years behind. And in the technology space, that's like 5 centuries.
So for the parent out there who has the young person coming through high school getting ready to go to college, and you know that when they graduate with this degree, they could be behind. I mean, they could really be behind because they've not been limited. What kind of advice would you give them to ensure that their children actually are ready to go out into the world? And I say do 4 things. Fix something, solve a major problem, add tremendous value, or sell something of value. And those 4 skills would help them. What kind of advice would you give them?
Well, keep in mind this. If you got a 12, 13, 15-year-old right now, we can't know what the best jobs of 2020 are going to be because they haven't even been invented yet. But we can look at some things and know and know some things. We can know that the kid right now who sits all day playing on the video game Angry Birds or World of Warcraft or whatever, they may be perfectly qualified to be a heart surgeon 5 years from now, 10 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who's a heart surgeon right now went to school for 15 years and been practicing for 30 years, he may be out of work in 10 years because heart surgery, I mean, let's be realistic, open heart surgery, organ transplant surgery, it's going to be done with a joystick from a control room.
Mm-hmm.
And the patient's going to be on the other side of the window, or the patient's going to be 3,000 miles away or 10,000 miles away. And the kid who's really good now at video games, he might be really eminently qualified to be a great open-heart surgeon. So that's why, you know, the rules have changed. The old go to school, get an education, get a job for a big company, you're set for life. That, what we would have said was safe, that's now the riskiest thing in the world.
Mm.
And that's why, of course, the whole premise of the book is risky is the new safe.
Mm-hmm. So when you had that thought coming back on that plane, it was, I have got, because you did a blog on this at some point, and you kind of said, this has got to be a book, and I'm sure your people, your mastermind groups encourage you to write the book, and it's the right time and the right place for that. Now,
yeah, I got a lot of feedback. I did a number of blog posts, and again, I'm an entrepreneur myself. I'm always looking for, how do I prepare myself for the future? How do I prepare for my team for the future? And one of the things, someone you may know, a buddy of mine, Dan Burris, he wrote a book called Flash Foresight with John David Mann. And that was a great impetus for me as I was writing this book, because he talks about the difference between hard trends and soft trends, and linear trends versus cyclical trends. So, you know, real estate prices, that's a cyclical trend. Could go up, could go down. If you take broadband accessibility, that's just a linear trend. That's just going to continue to get easier to access.
Mm-hmm.
Cost of broadband, it's going to continue to go down. That's a linear trend. So you can look at trends. If you really, if you're discerning enough to understand what's a hard trend, what's a soft trend, what's a cyclical trend, what's a linear one, then you can understand, you can actually foretell the future with an uncanny degree of accuracy. And of course, the whole premise of risky is the new safe is you can foretell what the challenges are going to be, what the problems that are going to be created in the future. And of course, that's where the opportunities are. That's where, just go back to the four things you just mentioned, you know, solve a problem, provide value, meeting the, well, that comes from overcoming challenges. If someone has a challenge, they will gratefully, lovingly, joyfully crawl naked over broken glass and throw money at you if you will make their problem go away.
Mm-hmm. That's right. We've got about 2 minutes left in this segment. We're going to have you on as long as you'll stay with us today. Let's talk a little prosperity. As some of these things diminish, you believe there will be more and more opportunity for prosperity, and you even posit that in our lifetime, we'll be able to vacation on the moon, buy a condo on the ocean floor, take a feed from the midfielder through a holo suite. You know, teach us how we can prosper during these changes. Is it about seeing the trends? I mean, some of this stuff, you know, I agree with you because I own oceanfront property, and I'm sitting there thinking about, man, that's going to devalue my oceanfront property if you can vacation on the bottom of the ocean floor.
Yeah, well, we'll probably have to pick it up after the break, but here's what I'll say to set the stage.
Mm-hmm.
We assign value to things. So you're driving to the symphony, and you get a flat tire. Well, that's horrible to you. That's a negative event. But to the guy who owns the tire store, that's great news, because he's got to send his daughter through college, and he's going to sell an extra tire today. So, you know, we assign subjective values to things. But they're just mind viruses we made up, right? It's the same event. You could see it as negative. The guy at the tire store sees it as positive. That's what the book is really about, is how you can look at these events that a lot of people will find scary, threatening, bad, negative, and you can actually see how they can be used to create wealth, health, happiness, and success.
Mm, good stuff. Man, I'm telling you. Let me tell you what Larry Winget said about this book. Holy crap, I love this book. It's smart, entertaining, and best of all, made me rethink my life and my business. Today we're talking to Randy Gage, the prosperity guru and author of the new book, Risky is the New Safe. The rules have changed. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation right here on Change Your Life Radio. Shine your truck up, swing by the quick stop. Welcome back to the Coach Michael Bird Show. 1 hour of transformational radio. We have relevant radio here, relevant interviews, and some remarkable insight. Today, if you're interested in about really seeing how to be risky and how to be safe, we've got Randy Gage, the prosperity guru. He's got the new book coming out, Risky is the New Safe. The rules have changed. And man, what a book that'll just have your mind spinning. And endorsed by so many people. Brian Tracy, this remarkable, fast-paced book opens your mind and imagination to the incredible opportunities that appear when you change your perspective. Randy, welcome back to Change Your Life Radio.
Thanks. Good to be on with you.
We were talking prosperity at the end of really the value for value transaction and how we assign value. And you make some pretty bold claims in the book. And you may want to go through just a few of those for the listener about some of the things. I used the example of vacationing on the ocean floor, taking a trip to the moon, which I think Richard Branson's even doing in 2013, and how people can take advantage of this versus be afraid of it through some of these mind viruses and memes.
Yeah, that's the key point here, Coach, is that I'm not talking about 30, 40, 100 years from now. Richard will be taking tourists into space next year. Mm. There's a hotel right now in the South Pacific has a biosphere room that they lower you down to the floor of the ocean, and you spend 2 days there with a coral reef view and the sharks are swimming by.
Mm-hmm.
And virtual reality, I mean, that is accelerating so fast. That's going to be here before you. So most of this stuff that I'm talking about in the book, give you another example. I predict in the book the euro will collapse or mm-hmm. be disbanded.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wrote a blog about that about 5 months ago, and people, you know, you would have thought I was clubbing seals the way they were talking about me and looking at me. They thought I was out of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, now I was like, man, I hope the book gets published before the euro collapses. It's so apparent it's going to happen to any rational person. It's so obvious, right? So these cataclysmic changes, and of course that's going to impact the dollar, the pound, the peso, the yen, precious metals, everything. So, but the key point is, this is not stuff from 30, 50, 100 years from now. This is stuff this decade, most of it. And they're going to be cataclysmic changes, but they're going to offer breathtaking opportunities. And remember that some of the greatest wealth in human history was created in the Great Depression. Pick any country anywhere in the world, and when they go into a recession, there are people who create fortunes. And as you know from reading the book, basically my philosophy is when everybody's zigging, you want to be zagging. And that's always a formula for creating wealth.
And that's a pretty consistent throughout the book that you implant there. Well, let's talk about the financial piece of this. I mean, people listen to this show, they're entrepreneurs, they're business people, and you actually go through some strategies as far as building your wealth for the future, and you divide it up into percentages. Share that with the listener.
Yeah, pretty basic stuff to me is, I used to say, you know, I went from nothing to a multimillionaire, and if I lost it all tomorrow, I'd be a millionaire again within a year. And then, of course, I had to prove it, and I did. And then I started saying to myself, well, maybe I should just not lose it. You know, wouldn't that just be easier?
Sure.
So, you know, my philosophy ever since is I put 50% of my investment in absolutely no risk, minimal risk stuff, 25% in moderate risk, and that's what I would put real estate and things like that, stock market, if it's well thought out, that's moderate risk. And then 25% you could do in really a high reward, but has a higher risk. So, you know, your brother-in-law calls you, and he knows his company is drilling oil in Louisiana, and they got a, you know, 87% a month, you know, return on profit right now. Well, great. Okay, if it really looks so hot and it checks out, put 25% of your portfolio into it. But the mistake people make is they get greedy. So they get something that looks hot, and then they take out the moderate investment, they take out the safe investment, and they put it all in the high-risk, high-reward, and that's how they end up losing their shirt in the dot-com bubble or the Bernie Madoff and the Ponzi schemes like that,
mm-hmm.
because they didn't diversify in terms of risk-reward ratio.
All right, let's shift gears just a second here. And you talk about the social media strategies that people use. You know, obviously you go into the cloud, mobile apps, the disruptive technology, and how it will eliminate millions of jobs and require retraining for people. Who do you think will be the winners and losers of this, and what can people do to be ready for this?
Yeah, think of, I have my sister-in-law. She's a typesetter. Mm-hmm. She would put rubber letters in blocks on lines of type, make a plate, and then printers would use that to print from.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she hasn't worked in 15 years. I mean, and what's the odds that somebody's going to call her for that job next week, next year, or next decade? It ain't happening.
Uh-huh.
That ain't coming back. The neighborhood video store clerk job, that ain't coming back. The travel agent job, that isn't coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Even the other things, like I said, think about the heart surgeon who's been in practice for 20 years and trained for 15. His skill sets may become so irrelevant so quickly that he has to retrain completely. Even the most simple pick-and-pack jobs in a warehouse, you may get the promotion or the raise in the warehouse now if you know how to lift 400 or 600 or 800-pound boxes or bathtubs while you're wearing an exoskeleton suit.
Mm, mm.
I was watching a special on the Discovery Channel. I saw a guy pick up a car and throw it off a cliff because he was wearing an exoskeleton suit, which balanced him, protected his spine, and gave him this almost superhuman power of strength because of the balance of this suit. So there are, I mean, think of a police detective. How do you do that now? You probably walk a beat, you drive a patrol car, you come up to the ranks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how long do you think it's going to be before, to become a detective on the police force, you're going to need a degree in DNA and biogenetic engineering? Because
mm-hmm.
that's how crimes are investigated.
Mm-hmm.
Or, computer science because of the financial crimes and where you've got to track down everything online. All the rules are changing. And the people who are holding back, you know, thinking that this stuff is going to blow over or they're just a fad, they're going to be roadkill on the highway. I mean, this isn't even enough. Like companies, a lot of companies are buying this book for their executives and things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they have all these buzzwords. Well, we're a nimble company. You know,
mm-hmm.
It won't help to be a nimble company anymore because the change is too fast. It's too cataclysmic. You can't wait for it to happen and then try to be nimble and respond to it. You've got to predict what's going to happen and be ready for it.
Now you talk about the ways, obviously, to attract the social media strategies. How 90% of people screw this up, where they put an intern on this, tweeting for the CEO of the company, and they really don't get the concept of attracting people to them like you do. And I still remember you talking about this in Dallas. It starts with the point of view, and then what you're really doing is just try to add so much value out there in the world that people eventually are buying what you're selling. Speak to that. We have about a minute and a half in this segment. Speak to that concept of attracting to people you with the value you put out in your point of view.
Yes, social media changes everything about marketing, changes everything about branding. But you can't broadcast at people. If you're just posting Facebook updates of your press releases, if you're just tweeting out links to whatever your sales letters are, people just going to understand you're not relevant. You're not engaging them. You're not providing value to them. The people who really get social media are on it real time, really engaging with their tribe, and they're building real relationships, lifetime relationships, which really will pay off in a very tangible financial return on investment.
All right, we've got Randy Gage on the line with us today, and we're talking his new book, Risky is the New Safe. Joe Calloway said it made him miss a meeting. 2 hours late for a meeting because he was reading Risky is the New Safe. I think his accountant would probably be okay with that, Randy. When we come back in segment number 3, we're going to keep asking some more questions from this book that'll absolutely blow your mind. Randy Gage and Coach Burt right here on Change Your Life Radio. Welcome back to the Coach Michael Burt Show. 1 hour of transformational radio right here on Change Your Life Radio, WLAC. Risky is the new safe. Prosperity guru Randy Gage with his new book. Randy, what's the exact release date of this book?
We're actually taking orders for it now on a site, but the release date is October 30th.
Excellent. You can go ahead and get your copy there, randygage.com. I encourage you, if you're out there and you're serious about building a business, if you're serious about becoming a person of interest and influence, if you're serious about being a great entrepreneur, to start studying what Randy is doing. The value he puts out, the weekly blogs, the videos on Prosperity Television. I mean, when you really go there and get that, there's a ton of great stuff and a great model for you. Now, one question that came up from a Facebook person once I told him I was going to be on the show is, there's a lot of people that want to see you live, but they don't know where to go see you. Or do you do public events? Do you go to certain cities? Will you do a tour on the book? I mean, speak to that for just a second for those people out there who want to see you in person, not at a private company.
Yeah, most of what I do is private companies. I just don't have enough open dates to do more public stuff. But I do, I've got a public program in Istanbul on the 21st of this month, a public program the 27th and 28th. In Germany, I will have, actually I've got a public one in Phoenix, October 16th. If you follow me, if you go to Facebook and just / Randy Gage, I usually, if I have a, I'm going to do one in Miami here where I live, it'll be the 30th of October. The 31st, we have one in Dallas, that'll be an event based on the book. And then I've got Boise, Idaho, of all places, on November 13th. Calgary, Ontario, on November 14th, and then the rest is all Saudi Arabia, overseas stuff. So, but those ones I mentioned, those are at least here in the States.
Excellent. And Boise will fool you. I was speaking in Boise just a few weeks ago, and Journey was staying at my hotel. There's a little boutique hotel there that's really nice, called 43 or something like that. And I said, what's all the tour buses outside? And they said, well, Journey's playing here tonight. And I said, man, what a great time to be in Boise. So, beautiful place.
Well, I'm telling you, they're going to have the biggest crowd of the whole tour. So, something's going on there.
It really is. It'll surprise you. All right, let's get back to some of these questions. You believe at some point there'll be 7 billion television stations or 7 billion channels, I mean, for every single person. What are the implications for this? And I was sharing this with someone. They was like, well, I don't even know if I understand. Well, think about every person having their own channel. I mean, speak to that for a second and the implications of it.
Yes, every person on Earth is going to create the My Network. And they're going to say, I want Randy Gage's blog, and I want Seth Godin's RSS feed, and I want all the new releases from Maroon 5 and Nickelback, and I want my iTunes songs, and I want my stock market quotes and my Empire Avenue quotes and the breaking news from CNN, and I want the American Idol, the U.S. version, the U.K. version, and the Lunar version. I want, you know, and you're just going to create all this, and it's just going to follow you around. And all the lines are going to disappear, the lines between broadcast networks and cable networks and Internet-created content. Understand, Netflix is creating their own shows now. YouTube is grooming their own stars now to create their channels on YouTube. And the consumer doesn't care. They don't care whether it's made by a broadcast network or internet. They just want their content. They want their shows. They want their education. They want their entertainment. And it's just going to follow them around, because even all the lines between the screens are going to disappear. Between the screen on your wristwatch, the one on your smartphone, the one on the dashboard of your car, the one the 8-foot HD TV when you walk in your living room, it'll migrate to your desktop, to the monitor when you sit down at your desk. And that'll all change when the Google eyeglasses come out, and then you'll just be wearing those eyeglasses. And then some kid in a college dorm room right now who's got nothing except two empty Pizza Hut pizza boxes is going to invent the contact lens, which will make the Google eyeglasses go away. And then that'll be replaced by the chip that you put in your head that allows you to see everything without any screen. So just understand, Ted Turner, he's a billionaire, and he hasn't figured this out yet. Rupert Murdoch, he's a billionaire. He hasn't figured this out yet. Mark Cuban is a billionaire. He hasn't figured it out yet, because nobody's figured it out yet.
Yes.
All we know is it will change. You know, you won't say, okay, American Idol, 8 o'clock on Fox. It'll just say American Idol. Click here. And you'll get whatever show, whatever content, whatever music, whatever, everything will be in the cloud. So forget about networks and satellite. Everything will come from the cloud, and you'll get it when you want it, where you want it, how you want it. And right now, we're not set up for that. We don't know how to handle that. We don't know how to process that. We don't know how to process payments for that. We don't know how to deliver that. And the people who figure those things out, they're going to make fortunes.
Mm. And so that even moves into the virtual world of vacation and concerts, movies, even sex. Explain how you see the virtual world going.
Well, see, anybody listening right now be able to sing a duet with Elvis, have tea with the Dalai Lama, score the winning goal in the Super Bowl, you know, a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, they'll do it virtual reality in a holosuite somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere, somehow, sometime, someone, probably a woman, will perfect virtual reality sex.
Hmm.
And if she's able to protect that technology with a patent, she will become the wealthiest human being on Earth.
Yes.
I mean, just think about it. You know, you think back to Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon mm-hmm. Hill's seminal work, you mm-hmm. know, in the 50s, on the power of sexual energy and channeling, you know, sexual transmutation. That, you know, you think a guy now, he runs off to Vegas, takes his kids' college fund, and plunges his lungs out in the casino.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think's going to happen when there's virtual reality sex where he can pick that, you know, you can go in and order, okay, I want Angelina Jolie's lips and J-Lo's hips and these breasts and this, that. And, I mean, and this is not like a screen. This is, you're there. The sight, the sound, the smell, the taste, the touch. This is where virtual reality is going. And when that happens, I mean, the cataclysmic challenges to relationships, to families, to marriages, I mean, but once again, there will be therapists and counselors mm-hmm. and coaches and mental health centers and clinics that will make fortunes because, again, it's just a flat tire. This guy thinks it's bad. This guy thinks it's good.
Mm.
I'm not put in judgment because people are like, I actually had two people who were, they didn't want to endorse the book because I talked about virtual reality sex, and they mm-hmm. were like, oh, I can't put my name on that. I'm like, listen, don't shoot the messenger. You know?
Exactly.
I'm just saying, this is, you know, you could, whether you hate it, love it, doesn't matter. It's going to happen, and you better be ready for it.
Before we get into this crucial conversation in about 30 seconds, you know, where does this, because I'm perplexed that where does this come from in your mind? Is it, is it stuff that you're reading and it's just your own forecasting trends? Or, I mean, where is all of this content coming from? Because, I mean, there are some really bold stuff that, I mean, I believe. I'm 100% with you. I believe you're right on the money. Where are you getting this stuff from? Just from all of your studies and works and travel?
Definitely my studies, work, travel, being exposed to so many cultures, so many brilliant thinkers and masterminding with so many people. But most important of all is I am a critical thinker.
Mm-hmm.
I have honed, as I talk about in Chapter 6, mm-hmm. I have honed my critical thinking skills. And I always look at stuff and say, well, if that happened, what then? And if that happened, what then? And if that were to happen, what would be the next logical step of that? And I'm able to project it out 10 moves on the chessboard and just project what might happen. And very few people do that, but I guess it's a gift that I've developed because I'm so much into discernment and critical thinking. I'm a contrarian.
Yes.
I question everything. I question authority. So those skill sets have served me real well in the writing of this book.
Excellent. All right, we've got Randy Gage. We're going to have that crucial conversation in segment 4 when we come back. We're talking risky is the new safe, and I agree. Randy, you're on the front of something really big. This is going to blow people's minds. They're going to say risky is the new safe, and it'll certainly change paradigms. It'll change your mindset about your business. Get out and get this book today, randygage.com. When we come back, we're going to ask him, how do you move fast and break things? Right here on Change Your Life Radio. Welcome back to the Coach Michael Burt Show. 1 hour transformational radio. Just change your life radio. Listening globally here today, iHeartRadio. Click on WLAC. Locally in the Nashville area, WLAC News Talk. We're talking to Randy Gage. Risky is the new safe. And obviously, we want to thank our sponsors for today's show. A-plus storage, 12-plus locations in the Middle Tennessee area. And we appreciate them letting Coach keep his bus out there. Tell him you want the Coach Burt special. And also our good friends, Dean Higby, up in the Murfreesboro area. Quality Landscape and Management, and does a great job with my house, Brad's Pools, all the folks that are associated with the Coach Burt Show. And just know this, Risky is the new safe. With Randy Gage today, he's got his new book out, Risky is the new safe, the rules have changed. Randy, let's talk about the new religion of ideas. I thought this was a fascinating chapter in the book. Explain what that means.
Yeah, as we were talking, there's such a breakdown in the education system, and it's not teaching people how to be critical thinkers. They don't question things. They don't necessarily form their own opinions. And people who can do that, they're going to prosper in this new economy. And the new currency in the new economy is going to be ideas. You know, this is what Charles Fillmore taught on a metaphysical level, that we manifested prosperity from the ethers through the power of ideas. If we go and say, okay, what's practical application? Ideas are where innovation comes. Ideas are where wealth is created. And I think we're fast approaching a time where employees are going to declare as free agents. The people who really get this, who read this book, who take these concepts to heart, they're going to take these skills and they're going to declare as free agents, just like a football player would or a basketball player now. And I think the real savvy companies in the near future, they're going to be the ones that they have HR departments with people who create the best free agent compensation packages, so they can attract, recruit, and keep the premier free agents, because it's all done on the power of ideas. And a company with brilliant ideas is going to be a successful company. And brilliant ideas come from brilliant people.
And critical thinkers that we're not getting in the current society, in the current school system. You know, you could go to college for X number of years. I know I went for 9 years to get 3 different degrees, and, you know, no professor ever asked me some real important questions. What do you love doing? What are you good at doing? How can you make a living doing what you love and what you're good at? 9 years, 300 hours of credit, and never got asked that one question, and never really challenged a lot of the way to be critical thinkers. So the new religion of ideas for the people out there are people they need at an earlier age to be around others, coaches, specialists who make them think critically, correct?
Yeah, funny you say that. Now, you know I was thrown out of high school, so I have no education. I did a meeting with the vice president of a media company yesterday. Sat with him, you know, the other day, rather, and sat with him for 45 minutes, and he said, I was leaving, he said, thank you. Those were the smartest questions anybody has ever asked me. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. All right, let's finish this baby up with, why did you write this book? It's going to be a game changer. We're already calling it. Everybody, if you look at the number of people who've endorsed it, we've got a minute, 15 seconds. Randy, tell the listeners why you wrote Risky is the New Safe.
I wrote it because we live in the greatest time in human history. There has never been a better time to be alive. There has never been a better time to create wealth. There's never been an easier time to go from destitute to multimillionaire with technology, with the internet, with social media, with the cloud, with mobile apps. There has never been a time to go, a better time to go from broke to multimillionaire or multibillionaire. But millions of people don't know it yet because they're watching the news, they're reading the newspaper, and they're buying into the mind viruses. They think we're living in the darkest time in human history, but we're actually living in the greatest time. And there's never been a better time for success, for health, for happiness, for prosperity than now, because Risky is the new safe.
Randy Gage, international bestseller. This is going to be a big-time bestseller. Risky is the new safe. The rules have changed. Go follow Randy Gage at randygage.com. Randy, thank you so much, my friend. We look forward to having you back on Change Your Life Radio.
Coach, great always to be with you.